In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul in our epistle reminds the Galatians, as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the master of all. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time set by his father. Such, brothers and sisters, is the beauty of the wisdom of the Father in sending the Son in the manner in which all of this has unfolded. That God could have saved us in different ways is abundantly clear and true. While we know this is the way that he chose to save us, he certainly was not limited to this as the manner in which he brought about our salvation and our reconciliation with him. But there is a fittingness to how all of this has transpired. As St. Paul himself reflects, both in his exhortation to the Hebrews and also to the Romans, as it was through man that sin entered, so it seems fitting and proper that it would likewise be through man that salvation would be brought to us. As there was an Adam at the beginning of time, so there is a new Adam accompanied with the new Eve. And the new Adam and the new Eve bring about our vindication once for all mankind. But in bringing and becoming one with us in all things but sin, becoming a man, as St. Paul also reminds the Galatians, this profound act of humility, God becoming man, is made particular and manifest precisely because the Lord, who is master of all, as an infant, as a babe in his mother's arms, is indeed helpless, enslaved, if you will, to the reality in which he finds himself. All of this is so that he can, even as an infant in the arms of his mother, make very clear that all of this unfolds according to the design and the providence of the Heavenly Father. And even the Son willingly subjects himself in humility to his Father. He is God, but he is in obedience to the Father, living in the world in this particular manner, making very clear to us that the mystery of the Incarnation not only reveals to us the manifestation of our reconciliation and our wholeness, this child who will grow to be the man who will bring about our salvation, but also that this relationship is built in and lived around the virtue of obedience, the virtue of humility, the virtue of paucity, a lacking and an emptiness, so that God can be the one who fills us up. Of course, our gospel recounts that beautiful tableau and interchange, first between our Lord, our Lady, and Simeon. Simeon the prophet, who has been waiting and is vindicated now as he has longed for the coming of the kingdom of God and its fulfillment. And he knows immediately in coming into the presence of our Lord and our Lady that indeed this infant is the fulfillment of God's design and plan. What faith this man truly had, that he was so open to the promptings of the Spirit that he was able to see past what the world would have simply have seen, and that is a mother with her child doing that which is required by law. Yes, this is a mother with her child, but this is this mother, the mother of God, with God himself in her arms. And vindication has now come to Israel, and in truth, vindication has come to each of us. It is that same faith that Simeon makes manifest that we must have as we continue to rejoice and contemplate the mystery of the Incarnation. There have been so many things on the Facebook, I periodically force myself to go and look at it, that have reminded everyone that Christmas does not end on the 26th of December. But we know of so many in the church herself who, once Christmas Day has come and gone, the reality of what we celebrate likewise has come and gone. But nothing could be further from the truth. And indeed, the days of the octave and the days of our Christmas season are given to us precisely to provide an opportunity for us to truly contemplate what it is that God has done for us. Not only that God has become man, but in becoming one with us in all things but sin, subjecting himself to the stewardship, the guardianship of his mother Mary and his foster father Joseph, being born in the context of a human family, obedience and humility properly there, And then this life of faith that exhorts us to truly see God in the hands of God wherever God chooses to manifest himself. This is why Simeon can rejoice. This is also why Anna the prophetess, who spends her life in prayer and fasting, is able likewise to see and come upon this scene and see the Christ child, and then proclaiming the truth to any and all who will listen. This is an old woman, weighed down by the burdens of age and widowhood. But none of that impeded her from that life and disposition of prayer and fasting and mortification and sacrifice. So at that precise moment, as she comes into the temple, she is able truly to witness truth and life and vindication himself. And this is what is required of each of us. And as Anna makes manifest, the primary way that we are able to live lives of faith, to see the guiding hand of God in our lives, is to be men and women of fervent and constant prayer. We have to make sacrifice. Sacrifice doesn't disappear in the Christmas season. It takes on an even deeper and more rich meaning for us. The sacrifices that we make, that life of privation, is filled up by the Christ child who comes into our lives, who comes into our hearts, who comes into our very existences as he comes in the flesh. But we must follow the model that Anna herself sets, set even before her by our Blessed Mother, by Saint Joseph, who was able to listen to the message of an angel, by Simeon. All of these great figures that continue to accompany us on our journey to a deeper experience, a deeper ability to truly understand that which has transpired and happened to us. But then there is the exhortation, like Anna the prophetess, to then tell this truth to the whole world. You've heard me say very often from this very place that the world will reject what it is that you proclaim, both outside and inside of the church. But regardless of how people respond to you, you still have the obligation to proclaim this truth to all who will listen. What they choose to do with it is between them and God. What God is asking of you, convicting you to do, most especially if you come forward to receive his body, is to then witness to this truth, as she herself does. Your age, your disposition and state in life, none of those things preclude you from witnessing to how God has transformed your life, how God has transformed the world. And so we continue to be in a posture of gratitude and rejoicing for the gift of life that has come to us in the Word made flesh. We also, following after our Blessed Mother, pull these things to our hearts. Not like her heart which unfolds all truth as she herself brings truth into the world, but hearts that are primed to receive the graces that God wishes to bestow upon us. And then through those graces, however the Lord chooses to bring them to us, through the sacramental life of the church, definitely, but the other graces that God brings to us in our relationships, in our acts of sacrifice and service to others, to witness to the truth to the ends of the world, regardless of how the world will respond. As the Lord himself was pliable in the hands of Mary and Joseph and obedient to the will of his Father, let us pray for ourselves that we may have that same obedience and humility that allow for docility in soul and spirit, that we too can live lives that give glory to God and allow the whole world to know that indeed salvation has come to mankind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.